So, namaste, welcome. So, Will and I were talking before over dinner, and I thought it was a good way to start satsang. So, if you would like to, you might need to pull that back a bit. This is okay.
Are we waiting for Sarah?
It's okay.
I can't remember what we were talking about. But in any event,
You were talking about, as far as I remember, transmission and waiting for some kind of big event and then moving away from that to just being, correct me if
yes,
I'm wrong, to just
yeah.
being this.
There was the two things that were stumbling blocks for me. One was the spiritual experience, hanging on to that and wanting to recreate that. And then there was this feeling of transmitting certain satsangs. I felt the peace and whatever that is, the teacher, the group, and wanting to feel that that was something that was a prerequisite to. You know, if that's absent, then I've not made it. So what we were talking about is the simplicity of just being empty and recognizing that within myself and the emptiness of the other person, which, you know, the people were difficult to, that seemed to be another thing was other people. Would trigger things. So it's easy speaking to you because you're empty and I can feel that. And it's but I suppose really if there's a question in here, I don't know if there is really. We kind of like unpacked a bit
We'll
of it
wing it, we'll see
already.
what it is.
It's to do with the mind coming back in on a constant basis, asserting itself and taking all my attention. For large segments of the day, and this heavy rotation of thoughts, which are just like, and then the attendant thought of, I shouldn't be doing this. This is a mistake. I'm like, this is a failure now. And although saying that, it's trying to, is that the practice of just coming back to just the simple awareness rather than expecting anything attendant with that, in terms of a feeling or a sensation or any kind of reward for my service to spirituality.
I think there's about five questions in one there.
Yeah.
So I'll try and, is there one area you want to focus on first? Like, what's the most important bit of that?
The practice itself, just coming back constantly to that as being the, that's it. That's all there is to it. Is that it?
That's always going to be the most powerful thing, isn't it? Coming back to, like we were doing last night, recognizing the emptiness, the awareness, the formlessness, whatever you want to call it. Bringing attention back to that and away from the world of thoughts and concepts and all of that. That's always going to be the most direct thing, most powerful thing. But looking at the other side of that as well, are you do you just have to, because something else you mentioned earlier was I've been doing that for a very long time.
Yes.
Yeah, and like, am I missing something here? Is that all?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So do you have to kind of bring your attention back to awareness again and again and again and again and again? And try to get to a point where your attention always stays with the awareness. because that is a momentous thing, isn't it? It's a huge mountain to climb. You could be really good at resting as the awareness, and then somebody says something to you, or you get a flat tire or something like that, and suddenly a lot of thoughts, a lot of emotions, all of that. So it really is important to look at how you are with the mind in this. Are you just, do you have to go with it every time it speaks? Do you have, or not every time, but there are certain thoughts that seem to immediately pull us back into looking at those. So are you powerless over that process? Are you just blown around by wherever attention goes? You know, the wind blows this way, go this way. So mind speaks, attention goes to it. Does that have to happen? Or is there something that we can look at that's going to show you that you don't have to just kind of be like a ship in the ocean with no sail or rudder? You're just blown around wherever mind goes. Are you powerless over mind and attention even? What happens when you look at that?
Well, I know the answer to that from how it appears, but actually I'm completely powerless. It seems to overwhelm me, and my thoughts will take me down a road that, I go down all the time without that stopping and putting any distance between myself and them, or even seeing that I am they're part of the you know, that they're made up of the awareness.
Yeah.
So that seeing that would be helpful, and I could, you know, that's something that if I remembered, yes, but it's like
in that moment it's gone.
Yeah.
So let's look now. This person that's powerless over the mind, can you find it? Let's have a look now, right now, and see if we can find it.
Well, no, because right now it's not even an issue.
So later on, let's say you're lying in bed tonight, you're trying to get to sleep, there's all kinds of thoughts, and you just want to crash out. Is there a person then?
It would appear that the active mind is pushing me back into that. Yeah.
So can you, what is actually happening? Let's slow this down. Some thought comes up, or thoughts come up, and then attention goes to those thoughts away from the awareness. It's just kind of open and looking at the awareness. And then something, mind says something, and attention kind of zooms back into that particular thought. And then there's a whole train of thoughts that go from that one, and emotions and whatever experience. Does this, I'm talking about kind of contracting from being aware of yourself, your real self, down to being aware of something. Does this have to happen? Because the answer to that question is really important, isn't it? That's really just really the pivotal thing about, am I powerless over this? Do I have to just let this thing happen to me?
Yeah. It's, can I stay open during that process and empty and watch this stream, whatever it is, from it would be from a witnessing point of view more.
Yeah. So I'd like to flip that question. Instead of can I stay open, I'd like to flip it into, am I the one that's closing down? Right? Because that's really, if you have that question, can I stay open? Can I keep my attention here? Then you've got a job to do. Instead, can we ask, am I the one that's doing this? Or even this, you know, kind of zooming in and out. So going from the being aware of awareness to suddenly being aware of something, usually a thought, isn't it, or an emotion. Am I the one that's closing down? Let's look at that. Am I responsible for this attention shifting mechanism.
I'm not responsible for it, but I seem to be heavily well versed in it. It's a habitual thing to contract like that without being aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose if I was aware of that process, it would be, yeah, it wouldn't, because that's not who I am. The contraction isn't. That's like saying who's the attention isn't. That's just something roaming around within this whole field.
Yeah. So if I think that I'm the one that's, you know, doing this attention shifting, then I feel it's my job, my responsibility to stop that from occurring. And more importantly, I'll feel affected by, I'll begin to suffer when attention goes to a thought. But does attention doing this, going back to look at the mind or thought, does that have to equal suffering? It's really important, this, because if I feel that every time attention goes to my mind, that equals suffering, then I'm doomed to suffer forever, because you can't control the attention 100% of the waking state. Nobody's ever managed it, and that's not the goal here. But if I can come to see that my attention can be anywhere and I don't need to suffer, then that's a different thing, isn't it? If you were lost in thoughts, completely lost in thoughts, even negative thoughts, and feeling very peaceful and blissful, would you care what you were looking at? Would you have a preference whether you're looking at the awareness? If you felt the same when you were looking at thoughts as when you did, when you, as you do when you're looking at, you know, this just emptiness, and it's just open and free, and I feel how I feel.
No, because I'd feel that I still kept a portion of myself, wasn't totally lost. And then this other thing coming in of, and I do notice it, the scolding myself for, here I go again,
yeah,
can't even get that right, sort of thing.
So if we can prove that you're not suffering when attention goes back to mind, although it seems that way completely, if we can prove that, then there can be a real just relaxation in the beingness, that attention can do whatever it wants. It can look at thoughts all day, and it's really nothing to do with me, and I'm not suffering, and I'm just watching attention move, and it doesn't affect me. I'm not the one that's impacted by it, right?
You with yourself? So I'm with you, but I'm feeling, I have this idea that I would have to stay rooted strongly in self-presence, whereas whatever, in order to allow that, I would need to kind of split myself a little bit.
So that would be a doingness, wouldn't it?
Right.
That would be something that you're trying to do. So can that be the ultimate truth?
No, because there's nobody here to do it. No.
So it must be something simpler than that here that we're talking about. So if you can, just set that aside. That's what seems to be what you have to do. But maybe there's something even simpler than that, which is good news.
Yeah.
So attention goes to thoughts. It's been looking at awareness, and then it looks at a thought, and this idea comes that I'm suffering. But are you really suffering when that happens? So attention goes to thoughts, and the body may begin to feel tighter or tenser, because mind says, you know, ego says, I'm looking at my thoughts, that's why I'm suffering. But maybe the reason that we're suffering is something different. Maybe the reason that we're suffering is because we think we're the one that's affected.
Right. So,
did you get that?
Yes, I think so. It's like the awareness and the true self can never be affected.
Yeah.
So by convincing myself that it is being affected, then
you literally live that experience. Yeah. So unhooking the idea that my attention going to the mind has to lead to suffering, because yeah. you're the one that's affected by that.
Yeah.
You're suddenly impacted by this change. I was peaceful and free, and then suddenly
contracted and miserable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not actually affecting you at all, and what the suffering is coming from is the idea that it's affecting you, then just to see through that idea is freedom immediately and effortlessly.
Yeah.
I know your mind's probably going, this is way too simple.
No, it could, because I just allow it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be an issue for it.
Every time you kind of go, I'm suffering, you know, oh, no, wait, let me just, I'm not suffering, actually. Let me just remind myself and check again. So what is actually happening? Attention goes back to thoughts. We've been in this silent sitting later. Maybe we get in a nice, peaceful state and attention goes back to thoughts. Are you the one suffering? Are you impacted by that?
I can say no, absolutely. That's who I am. Is that part, that couldn't be affected. So no, even if it was unbearable mental, you know, agony.
Even if it's like a tsunami going on.
It's not going to touch the self or that field of awareness. No, it can't. So I can absolutely go with that.
It affects the body, doesn't it? If I think I can suffer, my body lives that experience. Yeah. If I can see that I can't actually suffer, then no matter what my attention is doing, then I'm going to feel a sense of freedom. It's pretty effortless and constant. So when the body feels tight and tense because attention has gone back to thoughts,
mm-hmm.
is that affecting you? Let's really, really look at this. Let's really slow down with this.
Not if I come back to, not if I have that conviction who I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And so can we remind ourselves, search now for the emptiness of our being, awareness, emptiness, whatever you want to call it, and just experience now together that it cannot suffer. It cannot. Whatever's going on inside it, it cannot suffer. And the only reason for all of this is this one thought that I can suffer. That I'm the one that's been affected by this the whole time. And there's quite often a lot of resistance to really realizing this because what we're in effect saying is I've never been at the effect of this. The realization, and because our mind
isn't like torturing myself all my life for no good reason.
Pretty much, but we're all doing that. Yeah. So if I am the awareness, then I am the awareness. End of story. I can't suddenly say, and sometimes I can suffer, and sometimes not. Right. If I am the awareness, I'm not a thing. I'm not substantial. I'm not impacted by anything the attention does. I'm not impacted by anything the body feels. I'm not impacted by anything mind is talking about.
Extreme pain.
Even extreme pain is happening. We're not saying it's obviously the body is going through it, but is it affecting awareness?
No. And probably that might be even easier to see that.
Yeah.
And the pain might be there, but the actual recognition might be easier because it's much more subtle with the mental thinking and the stuff to be caught up and not see that you're grinding against yourself there.
So what is it that's suffering then? What is suffering actually when we look at it? Is it happening in the real self, the awareness? Is it happening in the mind? Is it happening in the body? What is actually suffering? What actually is going on?
It's some form of resistance, it feels like. Like a refusal to accept something. Like hanging on to something.
Yeah.
Desperately.
And is that affecting you? This is a good thing for everyone to check out right now, isn't it? Is that affecting me? My mind's going nuts. My emotions might be all over the place. My body might feel really contracted and tense. Am I suffering even then?
If I stick to that simple open awareness there, nothing can touch that, no.
So seeing that even when attention goes back to phenomena, which it will, and it'll go backwards and forwards over and over again, that's what it does, that I'm not and never have been affected by that. Seeing it again and again and again. Then what happens is there's a letting go of this trying to keep the attention in one place all the time. The only reason we're making, what's actually causing us to suffer is the amount of effort we're trying to make to keep attention in one place. When firstly, that's impossible. And secondly, you're not the one making that effort. You're just watching this monumental struggle, thinking it's you doing it.
So who's behind the struggle then?
You tell me. What is it that's orchestrating all this?
That part of me that wants to stay separate from opening to that. Yeah.
And is that really you? Or is it mind?
I can see that is, I can see through that. Yeah. But it's like when you add qualities to that of suffering, mental thoughts coming around all the time, all of those things added to this make it a much more formidable opponent.
So we're right back to where we started from. Do you have to realize this bit by bit slowly, or can we supercharge it? So is that awareness?
No, let's blast our way through it. Helen. Okay. I don't know.
I'm good for that too. Yeah. Slow is boring and painful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is that awareness duty bound? Is the awareness that we are duty bound to just realize this slowly over time? Does this realization have to play out over time? Do we have to have this conversation? I mean, if we do, that's fine. But another year from now, another 2 years from
another
now.
Another day, I'll have taken another couple of Jenga bricks out and I'll still be going, torturing myself. Yeah. No, because that's the story I've got going too.
That's the story that involves duality and time and process and progress. I'm very slowly realizing and speeding up, hopefully, that I'm not affected by anything. But can that even be true if you are already the awareness? Does it have to unfold slowly over time, or just mulling this over, is something going to explode inside you? Explosion, please.
Yeah. Absolutely, the power and the whole. You know, you're up against, as I said, the candle up against the sun. Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah.
So at some point through your brain, the thought's going to run, I've never been affected. I've never suffered. And that'll feel completely true, powerful, and there'll be a sense of freedom. How long do you have to waste as awareness before that happens? Can you see that you're giving some allegiance to time still?
Absolutely. I have this thing with these little clicks on my jail cell.
My identification is going to shift slowly over time. First, I thought I was this. Now I'm seeing that I'm this.
Yeah.
And I have no control over this process. That's the idea that's given so much power. But is that true? That's the thing I really had to look at. Is my identification what I thought I was, this person, this separate being, and then coming to see that I'm really this infinite self? Is it me that's doing this, or is that happening? Is that a thought train where the quality of my thoughts running through my mind are changing over time? I eventually arrive here. I've never suffered. I've never been affected. I've always been free. You know, similar thoughts, like I am the awareness, all of that, and where I don't have any more thoughts that are in separation. But aren't you watching this process?
I know the answer to that. I dare say yes, I am watching it, of course. Yeah.
So why can't you just skip to the end? Mm-hmm. Oh. Why can't you, as the all-powerful infinite awareness that creates the cosmos and sustains it, that creates all this, why can't it just decide that it's going to go skip to the end of that? Can you give me any good reason at all?
I'd miss out on all that suffering.
I think you wanted the explosion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's it's a done deal.
Can you see what I'm saying here? Because this is like, this is the last place, one of the last places where we identify as a separate being, moving through time and space and gradually becoming. So last night we were talking to Sergio, we were doing some self-inquiry and I told him to do it 150 million times. And mine says, if I do it 100, well, not 150 million, if I do it 150 times, each time I'm going to be more convinced and I'm going to finish on the 150th time like a sage, you know, like just knowing with clarity. And there's a belief in over time and repetition, something's getting clearer for me. But is that really what's occurring? Or is it, as I keep seeing, I'm empty, I'm empty, I'm empty, I'm empty, I'm empty, that I just can't keep fueling and agreeing with this idea that I'm the one involved in all of this process? So after 150 times of not being interested in process, something just drops in. And there's a clarity. It might not be 150 exactly, but you get the idea.
That's the gradual seeing that by applying that over and over.
Why can't it happen the very first time? And I'm really fixating on this because this is right where you're stuck, isn't it, seemingly? This is right where your question is. If you're the same as me and we're the same being, why can't you instantly know what I know? And when, to answer that question, we have to kind of go to, well, I need more time, or I need more practice, or I need to see clearer, or I need something like that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Can that be true, though?
Not if it's just one thing we're sharing, no. Mm-hmm.
So I want you to sit with that for just a couple of, you know, mull it over for just a little bit of time and see what comes out of that. Keep challenging the idea that there's anything stopping you from having the exact same experience right now as Ramana or Nisargadatta or any of those great teachers. If you are already that, and there never was a separate being that needs to dissolve or merge or any of those things.
Just a fiction.
It's a fiction, but we give that last bit of fiction so much power, so much power. And when someone kind of finally breaks through that, it's not because they've got to the end of a process. It's just they go, I'm not subscribing to that anymore. You see the difference? It's not having arrived at the end of some process of dissolving the separate self or something like that.
It's just a decision.
I am that sage already, and everything that comes with that. You feel something different in your body when we're talking like this, with much more empowerment rather than a kind of sense of disempowerment. Does it feel different?
Yeah, I feel we're in that, wherever that is. Yeah.
So if you keep your attention, for want of a better word, here, like if there really is no difference between you and me, then there really is no difference between you and me. And if you hang out there for just a little while, something will explode inside. Do you believe that? Do you feel that something could happen from this? 90%, 80%, 50%?
Oh, give you 100%.
100%. Ooh, okay. So any other thought now than that has to be kind of disregarded. Any idea that's seducing you back into time and you need more practice and you need more clarity or any of those things has to be set aside, not given any attention. Can you see the moment you walk in this room and sit down, there's an idea that you're not experiencing what I'm experiencing. You're not where I am, and all those subtle ideas. But that cannot be true, can it?
Not if it's just one consciousness that we're both. It's available to both of us.
Yeah. And immediately, the said very same thing. But we don't let ourselves realize that because we're so kind of seduced into progress and process and becoming. Mm-hmm. We're still buying some becomingness here. Yeah. So have a sit with that. Only allow yourself to hold on to this idea that there is no difference between you and Ramana right now. It feels arrogant to the mind, but it's nonetheless true. And let's see what happens. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Helen.
Very good, very good. Anyone else? Yep.
So when you were talking to Amy yesterday, we were talking about thoughts and harming the beings, which brought up something that I've been told that my behaviours in the past have harmed my children. So there is that belief is... So I was looking at it, but then there is also, because there is a belief of that belief, that then I allow somebody else to have power over me around them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I deserve that because I cost down.
Because if you believe that you've actually hurt someone else, of course, that's going to come with guilt, shame, especially your children. You know, that's going to come with a lot of, and then, like you say, feeling that you, are, you know, you don't deserve to have that. So
then when I'm in that situation and I'm asking for something, I'm almost believing that I can't have it because of that belief.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get out of it.
So let's unravel it. Did you choose those actions that supposedly hurt others?
No. Wasn't very well at the time.
Even if you were well, did you, right now even, are you choosing what words are coming out of your mouth? Did you choose to put your hand up then? It's a very popular idea, isn't it? But if you really stop and look at it, are you choosing your thoughts, your words, your actions? Do you have that kind of control over them that we think we do?
No.
But? Is there a but?
I can see that there's also a belief in I believe I know the thoughts of the people, so I'm seeing me through the label that I think somebody else is putting on me. And I don't even know if that's true either.
No. If you're not choosing your thoughts, then nobody else is either, are they? So if I don't even know what my next thought's going to be, how could you possibly know what that is that's going to be in my head? And yet the popular myth is, you know what I'm thinking about you. Or I know what you're thinking about me. So I'm trying to react and respond to what I think you're thinking about me. Is that really like even possible to untangle all of that? Is that, could it ever be true? If the thoughts are just showing up randomly, although they seem to be the same ones over and over because they're on the same frequency, like the clouds in the sky, how could you have this idea that you have any control over that at all? Let's really slow down and look at what happens when a thought or an action happens. Like right now, you're breathing. Are you sitting there going, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, breathe out, keep beating, keep going, and keep growing fingernails, you know, my hair needs to keep growing. You're not doing that consciously, are you?
No.
That's just all going on. And quite good, really, too, because every time you fall asleep, all that would stop. So are you also then choosing your thoughts? Do you even have any control over whether a thought emerges or doesn't? How long it stays for, what it is?
No, but there's sometimes there's a physical reaction to a thought or a fear.
Do you have any control over that either? A thought appears and there's some sort of emotion that comes up with it, some contraction in the body, as we're saying with Will, some kind of, you know, sort of trigger thing happening. Is there any control over that either? And any corresponding actions that come out of that? So if I say something mean to you and a whole lot of thoughts are triggered by it, there's a whole emotion that comes up and then an action's taken to defend yourself, to try to, you know, argue with me or say something back. Is any of that scripted at all? Chosen?
No.
So... these things that were supposedly done that had this effect, did you choose them? Because if you did choose them, then you can say, well, I should have chosen better. But if you didn't, it's a very popular idea, isn't it? Very well subscribed to idea, this, that we're choosing our thoughts moment to moment, our actions, our words.
So it's a belief that I was told that I could make a choice.
Yeah. Because if I'm a separate being, then I'm in control of my reality as that separate being, and I'm choosing moment by moment what to think, what to say, what to do. And then we have this guilt if we say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, or if we don't do something we're supposed to. All based on this idea that there's someone here living in this body that's pulling the strings and orchestrating what goes on. But in reality, there's just the emptiness of being. And there's some words coming out of this body right now and some actions. Hands are waving around because, you know, talk with my hands. But is there anything, am I choosing what words I'm going to say right now?
No.
See, that sounded a bit more convinced, a bit more definite. the rest of the world or the rest of your world, it is not going to understand this. They're going to feel that you made a wrong decision, that you had a choice in that moment over what actions to make, and that you chose the wrong one. But you're not being hurt by what they think. You're being hurt by what you think. So they can think what they want, but as long as you're clear, you didn't have a choice.
So it goes back to accepting, like, the powerlessness.
Well, I don't really like that, because it leaves us in a dead end. I've just got to watch the body and mind do whatever it does and hope for the best. Are you really powerless as the infinite self? Not choosing as a separate being, but are you still, does that leave you powerless? Because I've seen in myself and a thousand other beings that the more I see that I'm not choosing as a separate being, not choosing words, actions, and thoughts, the more I recognize that clearly, the quality of those words and actions and thoughts begins to change. They begin to be more in line with loving, compassionate thoughts and words and actions, those that I would want rather than not want. So am I really powerless in admitting that I'm not choosing as a separate being? Or is that really the key to all of this? If my thoughts and my words and my actions are coming out of whatever understanding I have of myself, and the highest understanding I have of myself is going to lead to the highest words and actions. But if I haven't yet realized that I am the infinite self and I'm not a separate being, then I'll really believe that I'm a separate being, and my words and actions will come from that place. No choice over that at all. No choice. So you have to hang on to what you've seen to be true, that you're not choosing. And listen to that more than some external voice that's saying you did choose and you chose wrongly. Yeah. The reason that person seems to have some power over you is because that's where you listen to that particular thought that you chose wrongly. You don't listen to it when you sat here talking to me, so why listen to it then? If it's not true, it's not true. Slightly convinced? How, on a scale of 1 to 10, where you're still completely doubting, 0, and 10 is like really convinced, where are we at on that?
Getting there.
There isn't a getting there on there. You see where I'm getting that, right? You can't listen to what other people think and feel peaceful inside. You can listen, but if you agree with that, you're always going to feel disturbed, aren't you? Because it brings back this illusionary idea of a separate self that has a choice. And a separate self always chooses based on this idea that it's alone in the world, separate to everything else.
Yeah, because there was a fear and an anxiety based on that thought, their thoughts. Something wouldn't happen. So instead, I did statements and conscious imagining, and it did happen.
Yeah. You didn't choose any of that either. They just happened, though, didn't they? They just happened.
Because that was the way to let go of the fear.
Yeah. Do you need to be really convinced that you haven't ever chosen as a separate being? And with that, the guilt and shame and all of it goes. It doesn't mean you kind of, I'll do whatever I want to anyone, I don't care. It's not that at all, as it completely flips. When I say I haven't ever chosen as a separate being, I'll see that I've chosen as the infinite being. And that's going to allow a lot higher choice of thoughts and words and actions. nobody can be blamed for actions they've chosen when they thought they were a separate being, because they're under a spell, hypnosis, illusion.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we have to go near people, spend time with people that are not treating as well. It just means I'm not going to hold on to this idea that I'm choosing, that I can have any control at all over the thought stream that goes through my head, because it's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Or the words that come out of your mouth. Can you imagine our conversation if we had to choose every single word that comes? We really don't.
Yeah.
And same with actions.
What's happened has led me to where I am today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was some sort of unfolding behind it anyway.
To the resolution of seeing that you never did anything wrong and that you never could. It's not like a get out of jail free card or I'll just run rampant through my life. It's just seeing I've always been this infinite self. My actions were clouded because of this false idea that I was someone. But the more I come to see clearly, that will reflect as my actions clearly.
Yeah.
We could pick it apart on a whole other level, but we'll save that for tomorrow.
Not good.
You're not coming back tonight. You're first in chair. Let's everybody make sure Claire's comes up here at 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah, joke sitting on my hands.
Yeah, I'm joking. Stop this, Melissa. Let me just